SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week begins right here, right now, live on a Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, bright and early on this Monday morning to recap a full weekend of playoff action, both around the association, in the NBA, deeper into these round two series, and of course the same story on the ice in the Stanley Cup postseason as well. Where do all of these sets stand with a couple of these teams just a few wins away from earning a spot in a conference finals series? We'll look back on the weekend that was in Major League Baseball. Oh boy, oh boy, things are historically bad for the Colorado Rockies, leading to a change in who is guiding that franchise in the dugout, all around MLB and DRS. It is NFL schedule week, the full schedule released by Thursday. But each and every day, some marquee matchups on the docket for 2025 will start to trickle out, including bright and early on this Monday morning. Excited for this day, DRS. Excited for this week here on the Early Line.
Yeah, we're not going to blow the cover on the big news of the day out of the NFL, but I also might want to remind you of something. There is some big news coming out of Philadelphia with the schedule that we're going to get to in a moment, but it's ping pong ball night in Philadelphia. Tonight is the night the Philadelphia 76ers welcome Cooper Flagg to the city of brotherly love to pair with Joel Embiid and Paul George and Tyrese Maxey and McClain and everybody else coming down the line. It is a monster day. And also, hopefully everybody enjoyed this weekend's action, which included, you know what? Mother's Day. Hopefully everybody had a great Mother's Day out there.
We hope everybody did have a wonderful Mother's Day on a Sunday. DRS is correct. May the ping pong balls bounce forever in your favor. It is lottery night around the NBA. The Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. Donnie's Philadelphia 76ers. The fifth Flag best chance of earning that first overall pick. The Cooper Flagg sweepstakes on this Monday. Donnie, Sixers and Donnie's Eagles, the reigning Super Bowl champions, adding that second replica Lombardi trophy to the Right Side Studios. Well, of course, they're going to open up the season in that debut game in early September on Thursday, September 4th. DRS will hoist the Lombardi because the reigning champs will take on the bitter rivals. That is the big news bright and early on this Monday. The season debut for 2025 in the NFL. Eagles, Cowboys, Thursday night at the Link, September 4th, 115 days away.
Now look right here. If you're watching on television right now, this is a Lombardi trophy. And it says right here, Philadelphia Eagles 40, Kansas City Chiefs 22. Dallas Cowboys fans, you have no idea what this is. Look at this. See how it's gleaming? It's glistening? Dallas fans, yours one is old, it's dusty, and I'm not even sure the football is even on top of it anymore. Did they even make Lombardi trophies the last time the Dallas Cowboys actually won a Lombardi trophy? This is what it looks like, Dallas. You'll never get one again. Feels good.
I do not believe the Dallas Cowboys will get one in 2025. What a speech, DRS. Firing right and early on this Monday. The Philadelphia Eagles favored to win their second consecutive and third in franchise history, plus 650. The Birds will enter 2025 as those Super Bowl 60 favorites. Plenty more around the NFL throughout this show, including the other dates you can expect to see the calendar start to iron itself out for the schedule in 2025. But NBA playoff action first and foremost from a Sunday, DRS. The number one seed in the Western Conference losing in overtime in Game 3 at altitude against the Nuggets, trailing in their second round series, trailing at the start of the fourth quarter, down by as many as 8 early in the fourth and final stanza. The Oklahoma City Thunder to get a big win over Denver, winning by 5 in a low scoring and frankly poor offensive showing on either side, 92-87. Okay, KC evens up. The conference semifinals set out west at two games all.
No, they needed every bit of it. And it doesn't matter if it's pretty or it's ugly. You just want that victory to tie that series up before going back to OKC. They did that. Did you see the first quarter? 17-8. My goodness. Stone cold under right off the bat here. Sometimes you get that in playoff basketball, but if you are the Denver Nuggets, you feel like you did let one get away, didn't you? You had a chance to go up 3-1 on the best overall team in the NBA. Now you gave them life, which now home court advantage back for them as well. Good job by Denver, making it 2-2. We expect an extended series. We're at least going to get a game number 6. Yeah. But if you're Denver, you had to shoot better at that performance. We'll get into some of the details later. Just not good enough.
Ugly offensive day on either side. The Nuggets just 31% from the floor. Both teams 24.4% exactly from beyond the arc. SGA, OKC's leading scorer with 25. He was the only starter for the Thunder to score more than 10 points. Ugly first quarter, DRS, as you mentioned. 25 points matching a playoff low in NBA history. More history made last night in Indianapolis. The Pacers absolutely walloping the Cavaliers, winning by 20, but that was not the story. The story was the first half lead for Indiana. 41 points, 80-39, the lead for the Pacers at the break against Cleveland. Indiana takes a 3-1 series advantage. That 41-point margin in favor of the Pacers at the half, DRS, matching the largest halftime lead in NBA postseason history.
Yeah, and looking at this series, this was the one that was like, okay, a top-seeded team down 0-2 going onto the road team's court, how would they be able to perform? Sensational, the Cleveland Cavaliers in the previous game to make that a 2-1 series. But now, 3-1, it's a wrap at this point. And I felt like it was that way after we left Cleveland. Too banged up, too injured to come back against a quality Pacers opponent. And when you get that win in game number 3, you can't take your foot off the gas. You need game number 4 to send it back to game number 5 in your own building where you have home court advantage. They didn't even show up. Lost the first quarter by 15, lost the second quarter by even more points. It was a wrap. It was a blowout. It was an embarrassment here. And the Pacers probably going to head back in game number 5 and close the deal. Why? They're just better than the Cavaliers. They are.
And Donovan Mitchell did not play in the second half, perhaps resting up for game number 5, but will undergo an MRI on a hurt left ankle on this Monday. The Boston Celtics showing that championship might and getting their first win in front of an electric atmosphere inside Madison Square Garden on Saturday afternoon in game number 3. This is the Celtics team we expected, opening up a large lead against the Knicks and holding on, winning by 22-115-93. DRS, Boston covers as a 5.5-point road favorite inside MSG.
3 balls, just be average, and they were way above average. Shot 43-point shots, made half of them. It was a wrap early. They were draining them early and often to get that big halftime leading coast to a victory here. And I said this last week, the winner of game number 3 in this series will win that series. Yeah. Congratulations, Boston Celtics. You're on to the Eastern Conference Finals to take on the Indiana Pacers.
It kind of feels like that, by the way. It would be a rematch of the ECF from just a year ago. The Timberwolves, despite playing against the Steph-less Warriors, were trailing by 4 entering the fourth and final quarter in Game 3 Saturday night in San Francisco. Behind a 36-point performance and a triple-double from Julius Randle. 36 points for Anthony Edwards, by the way. Minnesota rallies to win 102-97 on the road in SF.
They'll fight you, Golden State. They got a championship pedigree. They just don't have the horses to win this series. Timberwolves take that 2-1 series lead. Probably going to end in 5 in a gentleman's sweep.
DRS, as we see it right now on the ice in the Stanley Cup postseason, the Panthers win last night in Sunrise. 2-0 over the Maple Leafs. We're tied at 2 games all. Our other 3 series, a 2-1 lead. 2-1 for the Oilers. But nobody has won at home against the Golden Knights. 2-1 in favor of the Canes. And 2-1 as the Stars knock off the Winnipeg Jets 5-2 on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff all the way through. And how about these late goals? A second or less here, changing series here. It's pretty exciting times in the NHL. The hardest trophy to win, most people would say it's the Stanley Cup.
The historically bad season for the Rockies ends, or maybe not ends, but results at least in a change of managership for Bud Black, who had been there for more than 8 years. He was fired yesterday, and yet despite a terrible record, still the winningest coach in Rockies franchise history. Plenty more around the NFL later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Around the association we go, bright and early on this Monday morning, starting off a new week on the early line on Sports Grid, recapping the entirety of this weekend of NBA playoff action. Game threes and even some game fours that we saw in our second round sets throughout this weekend in the NBA. DRS, we start at the home of the 2023 NBA champs against the number one overall seed in the Western Conference. On a Sunday afternoon, the Nuggets hosting the Oklahoma City Thunder. Late on Friday night, Denver rallies to knock off OKC in OT outright as an underdog, 113-104. So the Nuggets enter Game 4 with a 2-1 series advantage, and despite being a 6.5-point home underdog, stealing that home floor advantage from the West's number one seed. Well, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and his Thunder steal that back yesterday in game number 4 in a low-scoring and, frankly, poor offensive outing on either side. The Thunder do prevail with a fourth-quarter rally, winning 92-87. Now, Denver does cover as a 6.5-point home dog. A total of 227 and a hook stays well under. Terrible shooting day, DRS, on either side. But ultimately, when things look at the series, OKC has evened us back up at two games apiece.
It's not supposed to be easy. You're not just supposed to walk through all rounds of the playoffs to get the finals and it's an exciting matchup at this point. It's supposed to be tough, particularly playing a team that's won an NBA championship within the past couple years and playing at elevation, one of the true home court advantages outside the crowd in the National Basketball Association. But for me, if you would have told me once again, Ben, before the game started, down 2-1, the Oklahoma City Thunder, how would they do in game number 3? Well, they would shoot 35% from the floor, 24% from three-point range. Look at that. Denver's up 3-1. This series is a wrap. I can't believe OKC folded up. But sometimes you have to win and win ugly, which is exactly what they did. Get the defensive stops when you need to and hold your home team to 31% from the floor, which included also 24% from three-point range. The heart of a champion. You saw that yesterday for OKC. It wasn't going their way. But damn it, they weren't going to lose that game, and they didn't then.
In DRS, I think that's huge, right? Because the only question we have had from the NBA's best team all season long, two consecutive years as a number one seed. But last year, it was OKC ousted in this spot in only six games by Luka Doncic in Dallas. What would that playoff pedigree look like taking those experience lumps? And frankly, in game three, in a game that was really back and forth, never larger than a five-point lead on either side in the entirety of that second half, basically a one-possession game for the final 15 minutes of action, it was the Nuggets holding on to force things to OT, and in that extra session, winning by 9, looking really good. It was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander not performing all that well in the final minutes of regulation of Friday's Game 3. So how would OKC look? Well, they were trailing by 8 early in the fourth quarter yesterday, DRS. Maybe some of that lack of playoff pedigree starting to catch up to the Thunder. They did rally for a huge win. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the only player for Oklahoma City in that starting lineup to score more than 10 points. He had 25. And get the Thunder, just 24% from three. Same exact numbers from the Nuggets from three as well. Denver overall as a team, 25 of 80. From the floor yesterday, DRS, as you said, resulting in a 25-point first quarter combined scoring between the two teams, matching the lowest ever first quarter scoring in NBA playoff history. But OKC did rally when it mattered most to even this series of two games all.
It was a brutal game. Even if you take a look at Nikola Jokic, 7 of 22 from the floor. Now, granted, he's going to fill up the stats there still with a 27-13. What else do you want him to do? That's not what we're used to seeing out of Nikola Jokic. He's got to get that shooting figured out. Then you take a look at other guys in the starting lineup. You know, Michael Porter Jr., 1-for-7 from the floor for 34 minutes. Not good enough there. Jamal Murray, 5-of-15 from the floor over 41 minutes. And then Russell Westbrook has provided a lot of energy. He played 27 minutes, was a minus 20 on the court and a 2-of-12 from the field. You can't do that in key situations if you want to beat number one seeds. You had everything in front of you. You had the crowd in game number 3. You picked up that victory. You rolled over to game number 4, an ugly situation where you were winning this basketball game late and you just couldn't hold on. Unacceptable for the Nuggets. If they lose this series, they'll point to that fourth quarter that they played at home and scored 18 points and lost. And that was a pivotal moment because it should be 3-1 Denver heading back to OKC.
Some great defense from the Thunder as well, putting plenty of guys on Nikola Jokic, who DRS, who was historic and prolific in the opening game of this series. Of course, Denver rallying from down 13 with about 6.5 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter. Jokic had 42 points, 22 boards in that first game since. He is just 21 of 63 from the floor. He was the game's leading scorer yesterday with 27 points, but inefficiently so, 7 of 22. In games 2 through 4, Nikola Jokic, just 33% in his field goal numbers. Again, he is one of the most efficient scorers of the basketball in the NBA. So here's where the series stands right now. We are tied at 2-all. We head to Oklahoma City this week for game number 5. And of course, DRS, the Thunder are heavily favorite to win this series once more at minus 620. In fact, you see the numbers there. OKC on the series spread, laying a game and a half at minus 110. That means the Thunder win in 6, which is the shortest possible outcome right here, right now. Do you think this is over in 6 with OKC winning 3 consecutive games, DRS, or might we see a 7th game in this very competitive second round series?
I think we're getting 7, I do, because also understand this. Once again, that pedigree kicks in. I'm not talking about the pedigree for the Denver Nuggets who have won a championship, but OKC, not that pedigree of closing out opponent after opponent in the playoffs, specifically with this unit that they have now. They're going to have to learn how to win. I expect them to win game number 5, but game number 6 in elevation, a winner-take-all game for OKC, I'm not sure if they're up to the challenge just yet. Now, granted, the FanDuel Sportsbook is telling you game 6 is probably where it ends, and theoretically it probably should, but I do think this is going 7 games at this point. These games have been too close and too competitive for the most part, where you could see Denver really step up and or Oklahoma City just not play a great basketball game like they did yesterday, and that could bite them. I still think OKC wins the series. I'm just not willing to pay over a 600 price to back that up, but I do think a great chance that we go 7.
Plus 118 to go the distance in this series. Yeah. That would be 7 games. It does feel, DRS, as we have split back, forth, and that's what we're going to see here this week. Game 5 on Tuesday in OKC. Game 6 on Thursday in Denver. Not a lot of time off. Our other Western Conference second round series next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number 4 on a Sunday afternoon between Denver and OKC, a series tied at 2 games apiece. Game number 4 tonight by the Bay in San Francisco. Game number 3 on a Saturday evening inside the Chase Center. Of course, no Stephen Curry for Golden State. We know he is out through at least tonight's game 4, reevaluated entering game number 5 later this week. But DRS in game number 3, despite not having Steph, it was the Warriors taking a 4-point lead into the fourth and final quarter, and then it was the Timberwolves rallying in that fourth and final stanza to take a 2-1 series lead with a road win in San Francisco, 102-97. As a 4.5-point closing favorite, depending on where you got that number, the Timberwolves make good. Even a limited total of 201 and a hook does stay under, despite 36 points from Anthony Edwards and a playoff triple-double out of Julius Randle. DRS, we knew that Golden State would be limited without Stephen Curry. We knew their guys would have to step up, like Jimmy Butler. He had 33 points. How about Jonathan Kuminga off the bench with a 30-piece, and yet still not enough to outlast the Timberwolves, who have that 2-1 series advantage now?
It's great. Jimmy Butler had a high usage rate, 12 of 26, 33 points. That's exactly what you needed. If you would have told me Jonathan Kuminga off the bench would shoot 18 times and score 30 points, like, wow, they're probably in this. And they were in this game. They just don't have anything else. Like, remember Draymond Green? Like, hey, maybe I'll take more 3-point shots and step up without Steph Curry here. Yeah, congratulations. 29 minutes of cardio and 2 total points, 4 assists and 2 rebounds, and you fouled out in that basketball game. Terrible performance by him. Trace Jackson Davis, 11 minutes, scored 7 points, but he was put on the bench. bench here. Buddy Hield, you know he's going to make a couple three-point shots, right, Ben? Remember the two and a half and the three and a half? He consistently hits that because there are more three-point opportunities. But this is what I thought. You know, pre-doing this game on Friday, talking about, I'm not so sure how Golden State gets to 100. Yeah, congratulations. They didn't get to 100. They scored 97. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are sitting back on, okay, we know they're limited. We know they're challenged. We'll let Jimmy Butler get his. And Kuminga was sensational. But as long as nobody else really chips in, we should be able to handle our business. And they did exactly that, even though waiting out that fourth quarter where it was like, okay, we can win this game, maybe not 33-24. You need Steph Curry. You're not getting him back here. You're just not that talented of a team. Without him, it's no surprise the Timberwolves have a 2-1 series lead at this point. And as I said, no Steph in game number four. They ain't winning that either. And then they're going back to Minnesota. They ain't winning that game either at that point. Gentlemen, sweep Minnesota Timberwolves. It's not the Warriors' fault. You just had your superstar injured. That's it.
Your best player by far and still one of the best players on planet Earth when it comes to basketball. And to Donnie's point, again, Steph Curry has been ruled out so far through tonight's game four, but it's not like, hey, he's just out through game four. He will be back, ready to go for game number five. He needs to be reevaluated from the first ever muscle strain of his NBA playing days. Again, not overly optimistic that he returns at any point of this series. And yet, Donnie, we knew that Golden State would be able to muck it up. We knew the Warriors could keep things close, but really without Steph Curry playing a completed half at this point, the Warriors have yet to get to the century mark so far in the three games of this series, both games one and three staying well under, even with a total of 201 and a hook on Saturday night. Jonathan Kuminga, who off the bench in game two had 18 points, was a huge spark for the Warriors trying to make that game even competitive early in the third quarter. He drops 30 points off the bench. Jimmy gives you 33. Buddy Hield buries four triples. And it's still not enough in the moments that matter most in those crucial areas of the fourth quarter. Anthony Edwards, 36 points. And how about the new acquisition of Julius Randle? 24 points, 12 dimes, 10 boards, 3 steals, filling up the stat sheet. DRS, you have said it looks to be a gentleman's sweep right now, and the odds makers do agree. Minnesota entering game four tonight in San Francisco as a 5.5-point road favorite or a minus 900 favorite to win this series outright. Entering game three, the T-Wolves were laying just a game and a half in the series spread, now laying 2.5 games at a minus 128 clip. What does that mean? Minnesota, to cover that series spread, would have to win this series in only 5 games.
Yeah, and it looks like tonight is a key game because, again, if it goes 2-2, then you put up there that Steph might be able to come back for game six and game number seven, even if he's hobbled, maybe give them a lift. But also would show how disappointed I would be at the Minnesota Timberwolves for losing this game. You might say, come on, man, it's still a road game in the NBA playoffs. I get that. But when a team that comes in with their best player down, you should handle your business every single night. You see their favorite on the spread. Let's just call it 6 points maybe by game time. I don't care about the spread itself. I'm just looking for Minnesota to win this game and move on. You can't lose this game. You got to put your foot right on their neck while their best player is out so they don't get excited about, hey, extend the series another game. Steph can come back. Put the turn the lights out in San Francisco tonight, Ben.
Over to the Eastern Conference and a huge night in Indy next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Playoff history made last night in Indianapolis in game number four of our second round series between the Pacers and the Eastern Conference's number one overall seed in the Cleveland Cavaliers. Game number four last night, DRS, the Cavs entered as a 5.5-point road favorite in Indy with some life once again after earning their first win of this series in game number three in routing Indiana on the road by 22, 126-104. Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, DeAndre Hunter, all back for that third game. Second consecutive 40-point performance out of Spida, Donovan Mitchell. There was some life once more for the number one seed out east in the Cavaliers. That quickly came to a close in the opening two quarters last night in Indianapolis. The Pacers scored 80 and had a 41 41-point lead at the halftime break, matching the largest ever halftime lead in NBA playoff history, as Indiana has taken an ever-so-commanding 3-1 series advantage over Cleveland with a 129-109 win. Again, that final score not nearly indicative, DRS, of how dominant and impressive Indiana was last night at home.
Loved what I saw out of the Pacers, because also it's called resilience at times, right? You see the first two games of the series, Indiana shocks the world, takes both from Cleveland. But you know really the mettle of your basketball team, like, okay, let's understand the task at hand. We want to advance and knock out the number one overall seed. We got to win game number three and turn the lights out on that franchise. You got busted up in that game. It's like, oh no, how do we come back for game number four, knowing that Cleveland's like, we're back in the series and we think we can win it now. How about 38-23 in the first quarter? How about 42-16 in the second quarter? And absolutely knock everything of that life out of the Cleveland Cavaliers, which is exactly what the Pacers did. This series is done. It's almost like a microcosm of the NBA for me, but like, hey, don't worry about it. Number two seed out in the West. Don't worry about the regular season. This team actually stinks. They're going to get beat by a seven seed, which they did in seven games. Then you flip it over and be like, man, all season long, Ben. You know, we keep on wanting... Why are the Cavaliers not getting any respect? Unbelievable record, number one overall. See, don't worry, Donnie. The Celtics are the better basketball team there. And the Celtics were down 0-2. But the Celtics respond and say, okay, we came back in game number three, which the Cleveland Cavaliers did. I would be shocked to see, let's just say, the Celtics show up in the guard and be like, yeah, got game three. Let's get waxed in game number four. Not the case, which I don't even fault the Cleveland Cavaliers. I love this much more, Ben, from a Pacers perspective. Understand, like, oh, no, we gave them life, man. They're going to be out for blood in game number four.
Sure.
Then it's a race in three games. They have home court advantage back to absolutely blast them right out of the gate. Loved what I saw from the Pacers. This series right now should be over in five games, but we'll see if Cleveland has the heart of a champion to at least force games number six. But also, Ben, what are we worried about the Cavaliers? It's not them showing up on a night-to-night basis and playing hard. Who is going to show up on a night-to-night basis and play hard? They've been so injured, it just happens.
DRS, you're so spot on, right? Not that Indiana won last night and eked out a victory battling back and forth in the fourth quarter. Knowing where Cleveland was entering game four after a 22-point win in game three to bring back life and energy to this franchise and this second-round series, Indiana absolutely took it to Cleveland, even when they were healthy in that opening quarter and really in the opening half, to have a 41-point lead, 80-39 at the end of the first half. Truly a testament to a Pacers team, to a prolific playoff head coach in Rick Carlisle, and an Indiana team, DRS, that at least in comparison to this Cavs squad has so much more playoff pedigree. Indiana now one win away from its second consecutive appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals. Cleveland on the brink of elimination, getting ousted in round number two in three consecutive postseasons. In this year, there was the change in head coach. J.B. Bickerstaff fired, Kenny Atkinson in, best regular season record in the Eastern Conference. Atkinson awarded NBA Coach of the Year. Only ultimately more than likely DRS to see the same result. And what really puts things in perspective, now you wonder if they weren't down by 41, what exactly this looks like. But Donovan Mitchell, who injured his left ankle, according to the Cavaliers, late in the opening half, came out of the halftime locker room, tried to warm up for the second half, unable to do so, limped off into the hallway and into the locker room, will undergo an MRI on this Monday. He told reporters quickly last night, I'll be good to go. I will play in game number five with our season on the brink. But Cleveland's not looking to be in a great spot with significant injuries to by far its best players. I think the Cavs are done in five.
Yeah, and it probably is going to be the case. And they'll show up, and that crowd will be loud. And you're right with Donovan Mitchell. There's a couple different ways you can look at it. If we were a two-point game at the half, does he come back in that game? We saw Anthony Edwards twist his ankle, come back in, like, okay, this is a big moment here. I think I can play. Let me go. We'll deal with this tomorrow. But the fact of the matter is that game was over at the half. Why was he going to play 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes into the third quarter? Maybe twist that ankle again. Get him out. Get him some elevation on that ankle. Use the ice on there. Get ready for game number five and try to throw the kitchen sink at him. I don't think this game is going past, excuse me, the series is going past five. Oh, it's hard to win on the road in the playoffs. Yeah, it is. Indiana won the first two games in Cleveland on the road already. And also, once again, the psyche of a basketball team, Ben. I love the fact that the Pacers came out and absolutely smashed Cleveland in the first half yesterday, which shows their coach is getting through to them and they understand the bigness of the moment. So I would in turn be shocked if they go into game number five going, game number six, Ben, back at our building. We'll see what happens in the first half. But if not, we'll pull the starters and we'll wrap this up in six. You don't do that. They didn't do that yesterday, which shows what, you know, the coaching and everything getting through to them. I expect a big-time performance from the Pacers right out of the jump to take the life out of the building in Cleveland.
The Cavs shot 40 free throws last night. Most of their offense came from the charity stripe, and Indiana had a 41-point lead at the break and a 20-point victory when all was said and done. And DRS, you and I have discussed this. Despite what we are seeing with our actual eyeballs in the results on a night-to-night, game-to-game basis around these second-round series, based on the long, long NBA season, the odds makers cannot update their power ratings fast enough, and they are unwilling, perhaps, to really change those algorithms. What do I mean by that? Cleveland was a 5.5-point road favorite last night. Indiana wins outright. The Pacers as a dog this year, 20-16-1 against the spread, 19-18 straight up. One of two teams in the association with a winning record above 500 outright as an underdog. The other one is OKC, who has been a dog just three times this year and holds a 2-1 record. So the Pacers are up 3-1. They are one win away from heading back to the Eastern Conference Finals. And yet, a -320 favorite to win this series outright. A better price by a quarter, DRS, than the Celtics have, and they're down 2-1 in the series against the New York Knicks. It is kind of crazy to see, but again, it reflects the odds on what the odds makers expect from the ratings perspective game to game, because the Cavs, even with the injury questions, how healthy are Evan Mobley and Darius Garland? How healthy will Donovan Mitchell be for game number five tomorrow night in Cleveland? The Cavs are still a 7-point home favorite with their season on the brink.
Yeah, remember in game number two, like the Cavs coming in a lot hobbled. It's like, oh, what can Donovan Mitchell do? Almost drops 50 points, and they still lost. That's when he was healthy, motivated, and fresh. Now we're going to head into game number five, where the rest of the guys are banged up, still trying to play basketball, and Donovan Mitchell's banged up, but yet you see that number here. The overnight was the 9.5, but they worried a little bit about Donovan Mitchell. Sevens here, other outlets showing 6.5. We'll see where that game goes, but I don't think anybody's looking right now. You are going to get that last stand from the Cavaliers, but the last stand from the Cavaliers with the entire starting five completely healthy is a completely different situation than, am I guys actually going to make it to halftime before they have to bow out of this game? And you take a look at the Pacers again. Some of that goes into, what did you see last? Ooh, didn't like what I saw in game number three. Loved what I saw in game number four. They're out for blood right now. They know the stakes here. Do not give the number one overall seed life. Just like the New York Knicks gave the Celtics a little bit of life now. You can't do that. You got to close this one down in five, because then the pressure then is going to start to build for Indiana. Ooh, could have closed in game five. Oops, didn't get it done in game six. Now game seven back in Cleveland. One to watch here. But if I'm looking at that line at seven right now, Ben, ain't no way I'm laying that seven. Nope.
No chance, DRS. I'm not really laying a lot of those prices in the series odds either. The odds maker is still expecting this to see its entire duration. Plus 154 to get to a seventh game is the most likely outcome at this moment. The Madison Square Garden, go next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So much electricity, so much anticipation for game number three on a beautiful Saturday afternoon in New York City inside Madison Square Garden between the Knicks and the Celtics. New York up 2-0 over their bitter Eastern Conference rivals in the reigning NBA champs in the seas, stealing each of the first two games in the other garden, inside TD Garden, coming back from down by 20 points late in the third quarter in both. DRS, I was outside MSG on Saturday, just wanting to be a part of the crowd, wanting to be a part of the spectacle. It was incredible theater until the actual game started, and the Celtics absolutely routed the New York Knicks. A 22-point win for Boston to win their first game in the second round set, 115-93. The Celtics led by 16 points after quarter number one, 25 points, after half number one. It was all Boston in game number three. And frankly, it's kind of a nightmare scenario now for the New York Knicks.
It is. It really is. Because the winner of game number three, as I stated, is going to win this series. Well, wait a second, Donnie. 2-1, no big deal. The Knicks still have game number four in their building. They win that. They'll take advantage of that series. And they can still do that. But we understand this. You know, there's a tale of a few different halves, right, where it's like games number one and games number two. We didn't get great shooting out of the Boston Celtics. They lost really close affairs. So my whole theory and handicap was, well, what happens when the Boston Celtics return back to being the Boston Celtics? And they don't shoot above average. They're just average. They would have won games number one and game number two in their own building, but they didn't. So let's see what they do in game number three, because if that bad shooting continues, they won't win game number three. What happened right off the bat? They were actually slain from three-point range. 50% from three on the road in a hostile environment, 20 of 40, which is exactly the remedy for winning a basketball game for the Celtics. We understand the regular season. It's not necessarily live by the three, die by the three, because the Celtics can do much more than that, but they really take advantage of the three-point line. We were wondering if they just got back to 33%, 34% from three-point range. That's good enough for victories. But the fact that they came right in the Garden, dropped 36 points in that first quarter, a ton of three-point shots, then 35 in the second quarter, three-point shots as well, you knew they were here to stay. And you felt that energy leaving the Garden early on. It's a three-point game. It's a six-point game. It's a 10-point game. It's a 12-point game. It's like, man, they're not missing from three. That's where we cashed our tickets here, where they built leads but couldn't make a three-point shot so we could come back. And maybe the Celtics say, hey, man, been there, down multiple times already in this series. It's game number three. They weren't able to do that even or come back in the second half, because a 25-24 win in the third quarter was monumental, which showed the Boston Celtics aren't going to let this game slip away. If the three-point shot is going down at an average clip for the Celtics, there's no way the New York Knicks can beat them.
And that is part of the reason, DRS, that Joe Mazzulla can stand up there at a press conference and say, I don't care, we're going to keep shooting them. Because that is the philosophy, whether you agree or disagree with it. If we take 43s and we make 20, we're going to rout every single team in the NBA by at least 15, 20 points. If we take 43s and we make 16 of them, 14 of them, it is going to give us the advantage, unlike two-point field goals. If you are not making your threes, you can quickly see a 20-point lead evaporate, as we saw in both games one and two. And I think that's why the result on Saturday, Donnie, as we discussed in the build-up with it with the coach JY on Friday, if the Celtics go out there, open up a large lead as we had seen in the opening two games of this series, and yet this time do not let it slip away, and this time show off that championship pedigree, and this time hold on to that large advantage, it's going to be uh-oh and panic button very quick. Because this is why. You can make an argument that the New York Knicks resolve much better than that of the championship pedigree for the Celtics in the first two games in Beantown. But I do not think you could make the argument, despite a win in both games, the New York Knicks were clearly a better team. They rallied in historic fashion in each game one and game two. But the Celtics were good enough at least to open up a 20-point lead. This time they did so early, a 25-point lead at the break, and they never looked back. This is where things get very dicey for the New York Knicks, who, by the way, were only 5 of 25 themselves from beyond the arc on Saturday inside Madison Square Garden. The Celtics cover as a 5.5-point road favorite in Game 3. A total of 209 does stay under that total. And DRS, we're not just the only ones pushing that panic button for the Knickerbockers. Yep. Look at the series odds now. Boston is down by a game in this second-round set, and nearly a $3 minus money favorite to win this series outright. Boston was minus 116 as a slight series outright pick'em favorite entering Saturday's third game.
Yeah, it's hard to disrespect the Knicks, too, because they're still up 2-1 right now, but the prices feel appropriate. Now, the question is, can the Knicks get one more game in this series, right, to say, all right, at least we're going to get a game number seven in Boston Garden, and we'll let things, you know, happen and let it play out. But also understand this. Sometimes we don't understand the task at hand, and it's Tom Thibodeau. And I understand they talk about, hey, full gas, that's the way we play basketball. You were getting absolutely wasted in this game. Jalen Brunson, 40 minutes total. You couldn't have said, you know what? Maybe we get some energy off the bench. Hey, Jalen, look, understand this. It's about winning the series. I'm going to sit you for long periods in the second half. If we get this game to 5 or 6 points, 7 points, you're going right back in. But let me rest you up here, because if we don't really cut into the lead, which you didn't in the third quarter, I need you rested and ready for game number four, because we're going to throw everything we have at the Boston Celtics. So you got smoked, and you play all of your players 30-plus minutes. Karl-Anthony Towns, 36. Mikal Bridges, 38. Hart, 34. And Brunson, 40. It's like we don't learn from our mistakes. And I'm not saying you throw in the towel, but hear me out on this. If we cut the lead maybe by 10 points, Jalen, you're going right back in. If we don't, kid, I need you for game number four. That'll be the biggest game we play this season. But no, let's run everybody into the ground in a blowout loss? Ridiculous.
That's what Tom Thibodeau does. Josh Hart absolutely gassed in the end of that opening half in the third quarter against the Boston Celtics, averaging 44 minutes in the first two games in Beantown. Just quickly on those odds. The shortest outcome, which the Knicks could still pull off, is game six at plus 102. But that's a Celtics price. Boston to win in 6 and 7. The Celtics pulling off a sweep after being in the 0-2 hole is plus 164. Same number both sides. But the New York Knicks to force a game seven or win this series, getting a game and a half in the series spread, is minus 205. Don't love that number. More around the NBA up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, in our second round series all around the NBA postseason, are the odds makers back on track, at least for the two teams we expected all year long to face off in the NBA Finals and contend for a Larry O'Brien trophy? OKC on Sunday evens up its series at two games apiece against the Denver Nuggets. Oklahoma City now minus 620 to win their second round set, minus 190 to win the Western Conference. The Boston Celtics get their first win of their second round series against New York. They're now back close to a $3 minus money favorite and back to a minus money favorite and odds on favorite to win that Eastern Conference crown once again at minus 130. So the two teams, DRS, separated by about 50 cents the entirety of this season to win an NBA championship, are relatively back to those spots. The Thunder, the favorites at plus 130. The Celtics still 70 cents back, but a 2-to-1 price on Boston. And then you see a $7 drop-off to the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Pacers, and the Cavs somehow, some way, same price at 14-to-1, despite Indiana holding a 3-1 series lead in their second-round series over the Cavaliers. But those two top teams really back to where they have been all year long around the association.
Yeah, if we look at the teams that, like, I want no part of, it's the Knicks at 18-to-1. They hold a 2-to-1 series lead over the Boston Celtics. It's also the Cleveland Cavaliers at 14-to-1, and it's also the Golden State Warriors at 70-to-1. The intriguing teams for me, again, if you're betting OKC and you're betting Boston, we still expect them now to be in the finals, depending how, and again, their series. You're not even winning for the Boston Celtics right now, round number two. OKC's in a dogfight with the Denver Nuggets, but I do see the value there if the Nuggets can get by 20-to-1, because they would have slayed the beast here and said, you know what? Hey, like OKC goes down. They're the best team. Now we play in elevation. You see where that can turn out. The Timberwolves look good basketball team, getting a lucky break here with the Golden State Warriors and their injuries. But for me, though, I do think there's a legitimate chance with the Pacers here. The Pacers go and close out. Who's to say that, number one, Boston isn't going to win, even though I do think they will? But are the Pacers then going to be like, oh, well, we can't beat the Boston Celtics? Like, the Celtics are in a dogfight with the New York Knicks. Why can't the Pacers shock the world at a 14-to-1 price right now, as it turns out? OKC viable. Boston Celtics viable. Pacers viable. Nuggets viable. The other teams, get them off my television.
Completely agree with you, DRS. I think really in every instance of the odds, you made a good point. I think if you are now betting the Celtics, you've missed your best price, but you're still getting a better number on Boston than we had entering the NBA playoffs, or really the final month and a half, 2 months of the NBA regular season. Let us not forget, Boston down 2-0, but still expected, of course, to win this series entering game number three on Saturday against the Knicks. It was a minus 116 price on the C's for the first time in a very long time. We're no longer a minus money favorite. Plus 160 to win the Eastern Conference crown. Now they're minus 130. But the Pacers have to be in your consideration. Was Indiana swept and only four games by the Celtics last year on Boston's way to winning championship banner number 18. Yes, but Tyrese Halliburton was injured early in that series, and the Pacers were far more competitive throughout that series, DRS, than maybe we even gave them credit for. There is no doubt that if the Celtics are not making their three balls and they are so reliant on them, that Indiana can steal a game or two in the Eastern Conference Finals, and at a 14-1 price to win the NBA championship, you have some pretty good value right there. Indiana's second best price behind the Celtics at minus 130 to win the Eastern Conference crown as well. That's where things stand. Doubleheader of NBA playoff action on this Monday. Game four in the Garden. Can the New York Knicks get one win away from their first Eastern Conference Finals berth in 25 years? Will the Timberwolves take a commanding 3-1 series lead over the Stephen Curry-less Golden State Warriors in the nightcap in San Francisco? Some other NBA news, DRS. Two-time NBA MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo has not made any firm decisions, but for the first time in his career, he is open-minded about whether his best fit is remaining in Milwaukee or playing elsewhere. League sources tell ESPN's Shams Charania. Not exactly a bombshell report. We kind of knew that would be the case after the Bucks were beaten only five games by the Pacers.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting how it turns out because, you know, organizations could say, like, well, he's under contract. He's not going anywhere. But in the NBA, you know that doesn't work. If your superstar is unhappy, he holds all the cards, not you. But also you have to understand the crossroads that you're at. A legendary player in your city that's won a championship that now wants out. Understand this, you're going to get a lot to rebuild. Are you about championships or are you just about keeping your superstar in town? A healthy organization would say, you know what? You won us that championship. Now we're going to build for our next one. We wish you well. We'll retire your jersey or whatever when you come back, but it's time to move on.
We'll see what the summer holds in the NBA. Hour number two up next here on the Early Line.